Okay, this is the first day of unleavened bread. A very beautiful day, beautiful weather God's giving us. This is April 20th, 2019, the first day of unleavened bread. This happens to fall on the weekly Sabbath. Now that doesn't happen every year, when the first annual holy day also is a weekly Sabbath. Now, the weekly Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread is when Jesus rose from the dead. So let's see if we can recreate the chronology of the week in which Jesus died on the Passover and was resurrected during the days of unleavened bread on the weekly Sabbath. And then, of course, the day after that weekly Sabbath is day number one for counting 50 days unto Pentecost, or 7 weeks, which connects the resurrection of Jesus Christ to the day when God sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Let us begin by turning over to 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Should be a familiar verse to us. Paul said, "Purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened." Now Paul tells the church members, "You are unleavened, for Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast." That means the feast of unleavened bread. So the Bible teaches us that Christ is our Passover. Now he died on the Passover day. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians 15, picking it up in verse 3. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Now Jesus died on the Passover day, and then he was resurrected, it says, the third day, according to the Scriptures. "And he was seen by Peter and the 12 and by about 500 brethren all at once, of whom most were still alive as Paul wrote this. A few had died," he says. "After that he was seen by James and all the rest of the apostles, and last of all he was seen by me also, as one born out of due season. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace that he gave me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than all the rest, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was me or they, we all preached the same message, that Jesus rose from the dead, and you believed." So Jesus died and was resurrected, and that is a major portion of the gospel. Now let's go back to Matthew 12, and Jesus has something to say about the length of time that he would be dead. In verse 38, certain of the scribes and Pharisees asked Jesus for a sign. Verse 39, "But he answered and said, 'An evil and adulterous generation is looking for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth.'" Now again, Jesus died on the Passover, and that was on a Wednesday, in 31 A.D. And then 3 days and 3 nights later, he was resurrected from the dead on the weekly Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread. Now, let's turn over to Mark 8 and verse 31. "And he began to teach them and said that the Son of Man would have to suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." Now there he said, after 3 days. In Matthew 12, he said, 3 days and three nights he would be in the heart of the earth. Now turn over to John chapter 2 and verse 19. Jesus answered and said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, this temple took 46 years to be built, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When, therefore, he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now here Jesus said, in 3 days. Now in Mark 8, it said, after 3 days. And in Matthew 12, it said, in 3 days and three nights. Now turn over to Matthew 16 and verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples how that he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things by the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Here it says, the third day. Matthew 17, verse 23. I'll pick it up in verse 22. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. Now there it says, the third day. In Matthew 20, verse 19, I'll pick it up in verse 18. Jesus said, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock him and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Now Matthew 27 and verse 64. I'll pick it up in verse 62. Now this is after Jesus had died. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation. Now the day of the preparation means the Passover day. That was the preparation day for the first day of unleavened bread. And the first day of unleavened bread was an annual holy day. It says back in Leviticus 23 that the first and the seventh days of unleavened bread are holy days, annual holy convocations for church services to occur. Now, the Passover was the day before the holy day, so it was a preparation day. So the next day that followed the preparation day on which Jesus was crucified, on the Passover, the preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together to Pilate and said, sir, we remember that deceiver, they meant Jesus, said while he was alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure, or sealed up and locked tightly, until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the last error will be greater than the first. Pilate told them, go ahead. So they set guards there and sealed the stone that covered the tomb where Jesus had been laid. Now here we've had statements, and there are more that we could turn to, that Jesus was to rise from the dead after 3 days, in 3 days, the third day, and 3 days and three nights after he died. So you put all these scriptures together, and the only conclusion you can draw is that Jesus was dead for precisely 72 hours. And then he rose from the dead. Because after 3 days, and in 3 days, and the third day, and 3 days and three nights, can only mean 72 hours. Exactly 3 days and three nights. So Jesus died, the Bible says, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the Passover day. And that was on a Wednesday in 31 AD. And then, so you've got Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 3 days and three nights takes you exactly to 3 o'clock p.m. on the weekly Sabbath, Saturday, during the Days of Unleavened Bread. And right now, as we speak, it is that weekly Sabbath during the Days of Unleavened Bread. Let's turn over to Matthew 27 and verse 55. We're right in that chapter. But it says, many women were there watching from a distance, women who had followed Jesus from Galilee, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joses, that would also be Mary the mother of Jesus, because James and Joses were half-brothers of Jesus, and the mother of Zebedee's children. Now Jesus' mother and Mary Magdalene and the mother of James and John, they were watching Jesus be crucified from a distance, a little ways afar off. And then over in Mark 15 and verse 40, there were also women looking from afar, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the less, and of Joses, and then there was Salome. Salome isn't mentioned in the other parallel account. So these women were watching. And then in Luke 23, verse 49, and all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood far off watching these things. Now down in verse 54, and that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath was drawing on. Now that was not the weekly Sabbath, but the annual Sabbath. Now turn over to John 19, verse 14. John 19, 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover. In other words, it was the Passover day, which was the preparation day for the first annual holy day, which was the next day, Thursday, which would start Wednesday at sunset. But when Jesus was crucified, it was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour, that's noon, and that's when they started to crucify Jesus. Down in verse 18, it says, they crucified him. In verse 30, when Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head down and gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the veil in the temple ripped in half. And there was an earthquake, and rocks split, and it was dark all over the land. And the Bible says that even some saints were resurrected out of their graves. Verse 31, the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation, so that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day. And that means an annual holy day, not the weekly Sabbath. But it was the Passover day when Jesus died on the cross, and the preparation was for the first annual holy day, the first day of unleavened bread, which was on a Thursday that year, and started on Wednesday at sunset. Now, they didn't want the bodies to remain on the cross on the Sabbath, because that Sabbath was a high day, so they asked Pilate to break the legs of the three who were on crosses. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and the other, but when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead, and they did not break his legs, But one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a sword, and blood came out. There's a verse in the book of Matthew that indicates that they pierced Jesus' side before he died. And that was the reason that Jesus died, because he shed his blood. And that's when he died, when his blood came spilling out. And that's how he died on the cross. And then after that, they didn't want to break his legs. They could see that he was dead already. And then down in verse 42, they laid Jesus in the tomb before sunset because it was the Jews' preparation day and because the tomb was nearby. Now all of that was on Wednesday. And then Jesus was going to stay dead for 3 days and three nights. Now the women who had watched Jesus be crucified from a distance, they purchased spices and ointments after the first annual holy day. They rested on the holy day, which was Thursday. They kept the holy day. And then after that holy day, which was Thursday, then on Friday they went to buy spices and ointments. So you've got Passover on the Wednesday. Thursday was the first day of unleavened bread, a high day. Then you've got Friday, a regular day of unleavened bread. And then you've got the weekly Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread. Now, go back to Luke 23, verse 54. Now, that day when Jesus was crucified was the preparation of the Passover. And the Sabbath, which was the high day, the first day of unleavened bread, drew on. Now, the women watched Jesus be crucified on the preparation of the Passover. And then the Sabbath, the first day of unleavened bread, drew on, that Wednesday night. Verse 55, and the women also, who came with him from Galilee, saw the sepulchre and where his body had been laid, and they prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. When did they go and buy the spices and ointments? They didn't do that before the Thursday high day because there wasn't time. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea barely had time to get Jesus' body wrapped up and laid in the tomb. And then, of course, the Gentiles sealed the tomb. Now, the women and all the Jews kept the first holy day of unleavened bread on the Thursday, from Wednesday sunset to Thursday sunset. And then it was after that that the women would have bought their spices and ointments on the Friday. And then the tomb was sealed, and they rested on the weekly Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now, you go over to Matthew 28. Now we've come to the weekly Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread, when Jesus was going to be raised from the dead at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the weekly Sabbath. Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath. Now, wait right there. Other translations, one of them says, late on the Sabbath. Now, the New American Standard Version says that. And the Panin translation says, late in the week. Late in the week. In other words, while it was still the Sabbath. Now, the Harmony of the Gospels by A.T. Robertson says, late on the Sabbath day. Late on the Sabbath day. Now, a footnote in the Harmony of the Gospels by A.T. Robertson says, the visit of the women to inspect the tomb was thus made before the Sabbath was over. Before 6 p.m. on Saturday. It must be borne in mind that the Jewish first day of the week began at 6 p.m. on our Saturday. That's a footnote in the Harmony of the Gospels by A.T. Robertson. It makes it very clear that the women came towards the end of the weekly Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread. Now, it says, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. That would be as the first day of the week began to come on. Mary Magdalene came and the other Mary to see the tomb. And there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came from heaven and rolled away the stone and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning. His clothing was white as snow. Verse 5, and the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has risen, as he said he would. Come and look at the place where he had been laid, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. He will go before you into Galilee, and you will see him there." Go over to Mark 16. Now here the women came to the tomb. Let's see, in verse 4, they saw that the stone was rolled away, and entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man, that means the angel, sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid, and he said to them, verse 6, "Don't be afraid. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen." Now this was late on the Sabbath. "He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Take a look at it. He's not here. But go your way and tell his disciples that he's going before you into Galilee." Verse 8, "And they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed." Now look at this. "And neither did they say anything to anybody, for they were afraid." They didn't say anything to anybody. So there was an earthquake, the stone was rolled away, the guards fainted, and an angel told the women that Christ had risen. They were frightened, they fled from the tomb and said nothing to anyone. Now we turn over to John chapter 20. Now Mary Magdalene was one of those women. John 20, verse 1. The first day of the week, now remember, the first day began at about 6 p.m. on Saturday. That's when the first day of the week began. Saturday evening at sunset. That's when the week began. Now, the first day of the week, in other words, Saturday night, Mary Magdalene, she came back to the tomb. Now, she had been there earlier with the other women, a little while earlier, and they didn't say anything to anybody. And they were afraid. But Mary Magdalene decided to come back early Saturday night. And it was dark out, it says. Early on the first day of the week, when it was dark. In other words, a little after 6 p.m. on Saturday evening. She came to the sepulcher and saw the stone that had been taken away. Again, she saw it again. This is her second visit. Then she ran and came to Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. That would be John. And she told Peter and John, "They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we don't know where they put him." Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, John. They ran to the tomb, and John got there first, and Peter got there second, but John didn't go in. He waited for Peter, and he let Peter go in first. Verse 8, "Then John went in to the tomb also, and John immediately believed." Verse 9, "For until then, they didn't understand that Jesus had to rise from the dead, even though Jesus had told them he'd rise after 3 days or in 3 days and so on. But somehow they just didn't get it. Then the disciples went away to their own home." Verse 11, "But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And now there were two angels, one at the head and the other at the feet of the slab where they had laid Jesus." Verse 13, "And they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said, 'Because they've taken the Lord away, and I don't know where they took him. And after she had said that, she turned back and saw Jesus, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. Now it was dark out. So Jesus said, "Woman, why are you weeping? What are you looking for? Or who are you looking for?" And she supposed that he was the gardener. And she said to him, "Sir, if you have taken him away somewhere, tell me where you've taken him." Verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Mary," and she turned, she realized she was talking to Jesus. She said, "Rabbi," which means master. Jesus said to her, "Don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." Now this was on Saturday night. It was still dark. And Jesus had not yet ascended to God the Father. But later on, at the end of the first day of the week, he did allow his disciples to touch him. But at this point, Jesus wouldn't let anybody touch him. And you have to go back to Leviticus 23 and find out what God told them to do during the days of unleavened bread. God had said, "Now don't eat any of the grain of the land until that day, the wave sheaf offering. This is the first grain from the new harvest that was supposed to be consumed." Because it pictures something. The human race is like a grain field, and all the people on the earth are like grain growing. And God's going to harvest that grain. And the harvest means he's going to take human beings and change them from mortal to immortal and give them eternal life and make them members of the God family. And Jesus is the first one. Jesus was the first human being to be reaped into the family of God. So it's like Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to sow and a time to reap what has been sown. Human beings are meant to be reaped into the kingdom of God. But right now we're just flowers in the grass. We're grains growing on the earth here, waiting to be reaped into God's eternal family, the kingdom of God. So Jesus was the first of the first fruits. He was the wave sheaf offering. He was the first human being to rise from the dead, never to die again. But at this point in time, Jesus said, "I haven't ascended to my Father yet, so don't touch me." Verse 17, Jesus said to her, "Don't touch me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am going to ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. And that was on Saturday night. Verse 19. Then that same day at evening, in other words, Sunday sunset, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus himself appeared and stood in their midst and said, "Peace to you." He showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were very glad. Now they believed. Then Jesus said to them, "As my Father has sent me, now I'm going to send you." And he gave them a great commission. He breathed on them, he blew on them, and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, he was preparing them for the day of Pentecost, which would be 50 days after that Sunday, 7 weeks later, and they would receive the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So he was kind of illustrating that by blowing on them and saying, "You're going to receive the Holy Spirit." By implication, in 7 weeks, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, he wasn't present on that occasion, and he didn't believe. He said, "Unless I see his hands and touch his sides, I will not believe." So after 8 days, verse 26, his disciples again were in that upper room, and Thomas was with them. And this time, Jesus appeared again, and he said to Thomas, "Now reach here with your finger and touch my hands, and take your hand and touch my side where the wounds were, and stop doubting, but start believing. And Thomas answered and said, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen, you have believed. But blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs Jesus did in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Now, if you believe that Jesus is the Messiah and that he died and rose again, you'll want to start obeying God and Jesus and living by what they taught and seeking to be led by God's Holy Spirit. And you go into your prayer closet and pray to God and ask God for the daily bread of his Holy Spirit. And you want to follow those seven laws of success that Mr. Armstrong taught us to make it your goal to be in the first resurrection, to study the Bible every day, to maintain your health so that you can function and that your body can be the temple of God's Holy Spirit. And then you drive yourself toward your goal. You work at it, and you work at solving problems that come along with God's help. You solve those problems, and you endure till the end, asking God for his help continually. And that's the seven laws of success. And then when you're changed from mortal to immortal at the second coming of Christ, then you've attained true success, and not until then. Let's go back to Luke 24, verse 13. Behold, two of them that same day, this was Sunday, went to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together about all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, as they were walking along, Jesus himself appeared to them. He joined them as they were walking, but they didn't know it was him. And he said to them, What are you talking about here, and why are you so sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, said, Are you a stranger in Jerusalem, and you haven't heard what's happened here these last few days? And he said, What things? And they said to him, About Jesus of Nazareth, who was a mighty prophet, and all the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we trusted that he was the one who would restore Israel. And now 3 days have gone by since those things were done, and certain women astonished us. They went to the tomb, and they didn't find his body, and they came and said that they'd seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And certain of them who were with us went to the sepulchre and found it as the women had said, an empty tomb. Then he said to them, verse 25, O you fools and slow of heart to believe everything that the prophets had said should happen, didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things that pertained to him that had to be fulfilled. And they drew near to the village that they were intending to go to, and he pretended like he was going to keep on walking. But they said, Please stay with us, for it's evening now, and the day is almost over. And it came to pass, as he sat down to eat with them, he took some unleavened bread and blessed it, because it was the days of unleavened bread, and he ate with them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And then, poof, he vanished out of their sight. But they said to one another, Didn't our heart burn within us while he was talking with us, and when he opened the scriptures to us? It's a precious thing to have your mind opened up to understand the scriptures. Then they rose up and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together. And as they were talking, in verse 36, Jesus himself appeared to them and said to them, Peace be to you. But they were terrified, and they supposed that they had seen a spirit, because Jesus simply appeared. Jesus was a spirit being now, but he appeared as a human being. And he said to them, Why are you troubled? Why are you thinking these thoughts? Look at my hands and my feet. It's me. Touch me. Now verse 41. They still didn't believe because of their joy and happiness. And he said, do you have any food here? And they gave him some fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and ate before them. Now spirit beings can eat and drink. And he said to them, now these are the words that I spoke to you when I was still with you, that all these things had to be fulfilled which had been written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms, or the writings, which is the third division of the scriptures, concerning me. In other words, there are scriptures in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the writings concerning my first coming here that had to be fulfilled. And 10% of the prophecies have been fulfilled, but the 90% will yet be fulfilled at his second coming. There's a lot more that has yet to be fulfilled. Then he opened their understanding so they could understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it was written, and thus it behooved the Messiah to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name all around the world, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I will send the promise of my Father on you. In 7 weeks you will receive the Holy Spirit. So stay in Jerusalem until you are imbued with power from on high. And he led them out to Bethany, which was a town just outside of Jerusalem. He lifted up his hands and talked to them, and it came to pass, as they were watching, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven while they watched. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And then we go over to Acts chapter 1, where the story picks up, written by Luke. Acts 1:1. The previous letter, O Theophilus, I wrote to you, which concerned what Jesus taught and did during his 3.5-year ministry, until the day in which he was taken up, after he had, through the Holy Spirit, given commandment to the apostles whom he had chosen. Now, keep your hand here. Go back to Mark 16, verse 9. Now, when Jesus had risen, early on the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary Magdalene. Now, that would be on Saturday night. He rose on the weekly Sabbath day during the days of unleavened bread at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then, after it got dark, then it was the first day of the week. God's days start at sunset. He appeared to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had previously cast 7 demons. And she went and told those who had been with him, and they, when they had heard that he was alive, still didn't believe. And after he appeared in another form unto 2 of them, as they walked down the road to the village of Emmaus, after they had seen Jesus, they told it to the rest of the disciples, and they didn't believe them at first either. But then afterwards, Jesus appeared to the 11, that would be on that Sunday night, close to sunset, and as they sat eating, he upbraided them because of their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they didn't believe those who had seen him after he had risen. But now Jesus said to them, now you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who doesn't believe will be condemned. Now, let me paraphrase that. I wrote in the margin, those who believe shall know why they were born, understand the purpose of life, and come up in the first resurrection at the second coming of Christ, that's before the millennium, receiving eternal life to help Christ rule the world in the kingdom of God during the millennium. Those who do not believe shall remain cut off from God, will be deceived by Satan during their lifetimes in this 6,000-year period. They'll be part of this evil, condemned world, which is going to perish and be replaced by Christ's kingdom in the world tomorrow. They will die in their sins, come up in the great white throne resurrection after the millennium, be judged by Christ according to their works, and be offered salvation for the first time at that time. If they refuse salvation, they will be put to death a second time in the Great White Throne period. All right, that's a pretty large paraphrase of verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who doesn't believe will be condemned. You have to see the big picture on that. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new languages, they will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God, where he is right now today. And as Mr. Armstrong explained so beautifully in the Hebrews radio series of about 75 broadcasts, which we have on our website, that Jesus is on the job right now today to hear and answer our prayers, to guide our lives, to prepare us for eternal life, to write God's law on our hearts and in our minds, and to develop our character so that we can have eternal life. And he will judge if and when we become worthy of eternal life. And right now the church is being judged and being prepared for eternal life. God says, to him who overcomes, he will grant all things. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following them. Now back to Acts chapter 1, in verse 2, Jesus was with the disciples for 40 days. Verse 3, to whom he showed himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them for 40 days and speaking about the things of the kingdom of God. Then being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard, that is going to come. For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in not many days. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. God the Father is in charge of that. Now they didn't understand God's 7,000-year plan, and Jesus allowed them to believe that he might return in their own lifetime, but he didn't. That's okay. He didn't lie to them. He just wanted them to be vigilant and alert and enduring and expecting and watching and being prepared at all times, because their human lifetime was the period for them to develop godly character. He didn't want them to give up and quit and to be lazy. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses for me from Jerusalem all around the world. And when he had spoken these things while they were watching, he was taken up in a cloud up into the sky until they couldn't see him anymore. And while they were looking up toward the clouds, two men stood by them, angels, who said, you men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking up at the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken up from you, will so return in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And then jumping over to Acts chapter 3 and verse 18, Peter said, now those things which God has previously shown through the prophets, that the Messiah had to suffer, he has fulfilled those things now. So, verse 19, repent, stop sinning, and be converted. You know, receive God's Holy Spirit and a new mind, so that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord, and he will send Jesus Christ, who has been preached to you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things. That's the world tomorrow, which God has also spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, Jesus fulfilled about 10% of the prophecies at his first coming. He's going to fulfill the other 90% at his second coming, and thereafter. The spring holy days picture things that have already happened 2,000 years ago and throughout the church age. The fall holy days picture things that are yet to come, the 90% of the prophecies. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll finish this up now. 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. Let me review part of what we already read at the beginning. Verse 1, "Brethren, let me declare to you the gospel that I preached to you, which you received, by which you will be saved, if you keep in memory what I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and he was seen by a whole lot of people." Now, verse 12, "Now if Christ has been preached that he rose from the dead, why are some of you doubting that there is such a thing as a resurrection from the dead? Why do you doubt?" Verse 19, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable," because there's persecution on the church. "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first human being to rise from the dead and become an immortal spirit being. John 3:13 says, no man has ascended to heaven except he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man, who is now in heaven, because he went back up to heaven where he came from. First he descended from heaven down to the earth." That's in Ephesians chapter 4. "Then he ascended back to heaven where he came from. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Jesus was born to the Virgin Mary. He was a little boy, a little baby. And he grew up to be 30 years old. And he started a 3.5-year ministry in which he taught his disciples and trained them to lead the church after Jesus ascended back to heaven. Then Jesus died on the Passover for the sins of the world so that we can be forgiven of our sins, because he paid our death penalty for us. So that when we decide to stop sinning and ask God to forgive us, God applies Jesus' sacrifice to us and removes our sins from us as far as east is from the west. And our job then is to be unleavened and to stay unleavened forever after. Don't let sin come back into your mind, but live by God's Holy Spirit now, which he will give to us if we ask him." You read in Luke 11, where Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, that if you ask God for his Spirit, he will give it to you daily, and that God is more willing to give us his Holy Spirit than we as human parents are willing to give good gifts to our children. Now, Jesus rose from the dead, and that means that we can be risen from the dead too. Even if we die, and a lot of true Christians have died, but they're going to come up in their first resurrection at the second coming of Christ. Just as surely as Jesus rose from the dead, we can rise from the dead too. And that is great hope. There's more to life than just this human life. This life is just a training ground for eternal life. So if you believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, then you can believe that you will rise from the dead too if you die. You don't have to worry about dying, because in the next second of your consciousness, after you die, you'll wake up and live forever. You went to sleep last night. You slept for 8 hours. You woke up in the morning, and it just seemed like 1 second went by if you slept through the night. But now, verse 20, "Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first human being to be in that category of being in the kingdom of God now. He shines like the sun. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all, the same all, be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ first, then those who are Christ's at his coming." And the Bible says, all the righteous dead will be gathered together. And if we're in that first resurrection, we're going to meet righteous Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and King David and all the prophets and the apostles and everyone whose name has been written in the book of life. In Revelation chapter 20, he says, the rest of the dead who are not in the first resurrection, they'll be resurrected too 1,000 years later, after the millennium. But they're going to rise from the dead too. And we talk about those things on the last great day. They're going to have their opportunity for salvation also. So the fact that Jesus rose from the dead implies that every human being will rise from the dead. Everyone will have opportunity for salvation in their own order. Christ first, then those whom God the Father has called in this 6,000-year period, and everyone else later. But they will have their opportunity. And we're going to help them. The saints who are in the first resurrection will help those who are not in the first resurrection so that they can enter into God's family too. Everybody's going to have opportunity. And so Jesus started God's plan of salvation on that Passover 2,000 years ago. And he's the first of the first fruits. What a wonderful message this is. And what a privilege it is to understand God's plan and to be able to keep all of his holy days, of which today is the first in God's master plan of salvation for mankind, as pictured by God's holy days in this year of 2019. Let's keep all of God's holy days this year.